Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have a Frazita!
Swangled in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Vigilante.tv, Band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. We know you have a lot of options out there. Hey, thank you to our sponsors. We couldn't do this show without them. Chemical Free Body has been with us from the beginning. Tim James is insane about the products that he makes. He will not sell anything that doesn't work or that has chemicals in it. His products are backed by a double your money back price guarantee. I've been on Green 85 every morning for 3 years now. I can tell you with certainty that it works for me. We're in an industry that's very scammy when it comes to supplements and vitamins and things like that. It's nice to know that there's a company out there that is giving you the best quality products. You can go to chemicalfreebody.com and just take a look for yourself. I did the detox bundle, which is gut detox, toxin detox, ultra enzymes, probiotics, and a couple of canisters of Green 85. And that'll lean you out. If you're looking to get ready for the summer, you want to look good, feel good, that's a good place to start. Go to chemicalfreebody.com. And if you find something you like, use the promo code MACRO to save yourself a couple of bucks on your way out. And also to C60 Purple Power. Ken Schwartz is a mad scientist. He's a nuclear physicist, really. And they stumbled upon this C60 back when he was trying to prevent himself from dying, working with this sort of nuclear material. He found that there weren't too many scientists that lived into their old age that worked in his industry. And they stumbled across this product called C60. It was theorized by Buckminster Fuller. It was finally discovered and brought to the scientific world in the late 80s. The scientists that did so won the Nobel Prize for it. It's really kind of a big deal. It's the most powerful antioxidant known to man. It's hundreds of times more powerful than conventional antioxidants. It can help to maximize the efficiency of your cell by you know, by basically taking out the trash in your cell. It's a free radical sponge. It goes around finding free radicals and resetting itself again and again and again. It looks like a hollow soccer ball. There's a lot to it. I think if people are interested, they can go to shopc60.com, read up all about it. And we've had Ken, the scientist, on before. He'll talk to you about how this stuff works. I mean, thank God he's making it, not me, because he explained the process. It's very complicated. But they've got a variety of different flavors out there. And again, this is just like Chemical Free Body. Every single morning, I take a spoonful of this. But if you don't like the spoonful type, they have a new product. They have gummies. They have gummies that are really tasty. Actually, dangerously tasty. So I'll tell you what, if you think that maybe that's the best way for you, go to shopc60.com, take a look around, find something you like, use the promo code MACRO on your way out the door. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent, or mitigate any disease. ShopC60.com, promo code MACRO. Well, I'm excited for this one. It's been a long time in the making. We met at an Acapulco where we were both giving presentations. We met as shipmates on a three-hour cruise, Thank God Jeff Berwick didn't strand us on an island. But if he did, we would have the great Dr. Andrew Kaufman with us. So he is a natural healing practitioner, a speaker, an inventor, a whistleblower, a movie producer, and a damn good Spanish translator, if I might say so myself. Dr. Andrew Kaufman is here. Good to see you again. How are you?
Sí, muchas gracias. Estoy bien.
We might have gone out for some tacos late night, some street tacos. I mean, off the record, of course.
No. Well, you have to, when you travel, it's important to, sample the local cuisine. And often, you get some unusual things and it's quite tasty.
Well, we had a great time. I felt like I was interviewing you on the boat, and I apologize for that, but I had so many questions, and we were sort of there and there was, we were gone for a couple hours. We had a really great time. We got to go out in the Acapulco Bay and get to see whales. It was fantastic. But I also had a million questions for you. I guess let me do this. Let me start here, because before we get into the difference between terrain theory and germ theory, which is something that I have very little understanding of, I think it's important for us to realize, I think it's important for the audience, I think, to realize that when you talk about scientific theories that are a little bit different from the mainstream, I think it helps to understand why other theories are mainstream to begin with. And we look back at the Rockefeller schools and how they sort of developed the medical schools and the pharmaceutical industry and the American Medical Association and all of these things that were sort of put there to reinforce one particular ideology, one particular scientific belief. And then that becomes the only way. And anything outside of that is quackery and kookville and tinfoil hat and all this stuff. When in actuality, there's nothing wrong with it and there's nothing incorrect about it. It just doesn't make money for a lot of these people. And so my question to you to start off with is, what was your experience going through medical school? Because I know that you get a very particular diet of information and then, then they send you off into the world and you're supposed to only think of that, and you have broken far away from that. So I'm curious to know, what was your... did you believe everything you were being taught in medical school? Did you have to unlearn it later? Did you just tell them what they wanted to hear, pass the test? How did this all work for you?
Well, it's quite a system. And I'm really glad that you pointed out the origins, because most folks don't really understand that prior to the 20th century, most doctors in the United States were naturopaths and osteopaths. Homeopaths. Sorry, I confused those. There were osteopaths as well. And then chiropractors had gained a lot of popularity in the 19th century, but was relatively young. And then all of a sudden, there was like a major shift, and it was all initiated from the Flexner Report, which was, you know, a joint effort between J.P. Morgan and the Rockefellers. And it resulted in completely changing the educational system for doctors in the United States. And it shifted the type of medicine from naturopathy and homeopathy to the allopathic model, which was less popular before because they were giving things like mercury and arsenic, even to teething babies. So they didn't have the best track record. And they also, in the turn of the 20th century, were trying to do diphtheria vaccination. And there was a lot of resistance to that. So this all kind of came about. And then, you know, after the education system was changed, it shifted all of the mainstream doctors into allopathic model, right? Which is what I trained under. And the training and education itself is really like a hazing process. It's a, you know, an acculturation process, or, you know, a process of kind of transforming you into what they want you to be as a doctor. And there are several tools for that that are used. So one is that they expect you to memorize huge volumes of information. So what they do during the first 2 years where you're in the classroom setting is they just bombard you with masses of information. And none of it is explanatory, right? They never, ever teach you or go through or encourage you to look at the scientific experiments that led to the knowledge that they're teaching. It's just very formulaic. It's like, here's this disease. Here are the symptoms. Here are the lab tests. And here are the drugs or surgery that you use to treat it. Right. And you memorize that. And if you're talking, and there's, of course, a heavy emphasis on pharmaceuticals and almost no education on nutrition or lifestyle or those kinds of things, not almost nothing on toxicology whatsoever. And then, you know, they, in order to make sure that you spend all your time memorizing this information rather than trying to think about things or investigate or ask questions, they have exams very frequently. And they're very difficult and very long exams. Like the licensing exam, for example, to become a physician, it's in three steps, right? And it's either one or two full days of testing, like an eight-hour day of being in front of a computer answering multiple choice questions, right? That's how much you have to know. And if you, first of all, if you don't pass that, you can't become a doctor, and you have to then go back to the drawing board and study again and try to pass it. And of course, the success rate each time you take it goes down. So many people, students get put out of the system, not being able to pass those exams. And then the score that you get on it also is a big factor in which specialty you can choose and what training program, like the more, you know, can you get into a better program or a more prestigious program? And so it, all of these incentives make you just worry about the exams. And then, of course, there's all of these study materials that have been developed by a secondary industry. Like we're familiar with operations like Kaplan that do SAT preparation. Right. Well, they have the same thing, but more expensive and longer for your medical tests. And then there are all these shortcut books that just give you, you know, like pearls or bullet points of commonly facts that are commonly on the exam. And, you know, everyone's passing those around. And it's not like the real information. It's just like a shortcut to be able to do okay and, you know, pass everything and move to the next step. And so that's kind of the experience that you have as a medical student. And of course, you're amassing usually a lot of debt. Medical students have extremely high, like an average of, you know, even back when I was doing it, it was around $200,000 of student loan debt upon graduation. I'm sure it's higher now. So you're essentially also creating a situation where as soon as you start earning, you know, able to earn a real living once you complete your all of your training, you're going to need to service that debt and for a long time to come.
Yeah.
And you're going to, of course, take on more debt because you're going to want to buy a house and a car or pay private school tuition or, you know, all of these things. And those are going to create more debt that you have to service. And so you get on this hamster wheel. So you have this work ethic of putting in all these hours, memorizing material throughout medical school, and then working really long hours the second 2 years and during your residency. And you're going to basically keep doing that in order to maximize your income so that you can service all that debt and, you know, try to increase your lifestyle. And so there's really not time or opportunity or a culture of curiosity to look at anything in depth. And, you know, we also know that, and this comes from, I believe, some mainstream organizations that study this, when there's new medical science information that comes out that would dictate a change in the practice of medicine, it takes like an average of 10 or 15 years before it gets integrated into the actual practice. And I've seen this, you know, occur, even right now, in general practice, like things about breast cancer, prostate cancer, about heart failure, some of them have still not made it to the mainstream knowledge. Even, you know, something like saturated fat, which was erroneously, you know, vilified for decades. There's clear evidence now that it's actually a very healthy type of fat. And even the American Heart Association has taken it off their list of things to avoid, but they haven't put out a press release, you know, saying, oh, saturated fat is okay. And so you can still find lots of doctors and other health professionals warning about the dangers of it, that it causes heart disease, when that's been completely proven false.
Yeah. I'm assuming that you found that there's just a lot of, depending on when you go through medical school, what you're taught there gets baked into your belief system. It's positively reinforced by every pharma rep that comes through your door 10 times a day. And that by the time you're towards the end of your career, you just believe what you believe, regardless of any new information that's being introduced to you. Like you said, it's a 15-year process before anybody changes. So if you're somebody shopping for a doctor and you have to go this route, let's say your insurance sort of dictates it, are you better off with a younger doctor or an older doctor?
You're better off getting rid of your health insurance and not going to any doctors.
I know.
That's really the only thing I can recommend, to be honest with you, because, you know, I've really examined all the major areas of medical treatment, you know, initially from firsthand experience of working in cancer medicine, internal medicine, neurology, and ultimately psychiatry and forensic psychiatry. But I've also reviewed much of the literature on many different areas. And what I found is that really there are no miracles to be had. There mostly is treatment that just suppresses symptoms and exacerbates or delays the inevitable health deterioration. You know, there's no cure is an unspoken word. And, you know, aside from a severe trauma, like I would say, you know, in trauma surgery, that there is a significant value, right? If your finger gets severed off and you want someone to reattach it, but you don't need health insurance to face that situation because they can't turn you away based on federal law. I mean, you know, think how bad it would be for public relations. You know, hospital turns away man with finger in jar, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then just don't sign any documents promising to pay whatever they say, and then you'll be able to negotiate, you know, a financial arrangement after the fact. But, you know, so there is a use for it. But other than that, you know, everything else is really of that system is designed to suck you in and, you know, get you to be basically a consumer of more and more medications. They even openly state this, you know, that the goals are to have people on 10 to 15 medications, you know, by the time they're 50 or, you know, something arbitrary like that. Don't quote the exact numbers, but there is marketing efforts, you know, for that purpose. So I don't really see anything of value. And in fact, you know, I create educational material to try and teach folks how they can address their own health issues, especially, you know, before they get out of control, so that they just don't need any other, you know, except in those rare severe trauma situations.
Yeah, I think prevention in advance is the best method possible. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that ship has sailed. So now they're just fighting off symptoms and, you know, a never ending, you know, symptoms from the medication, Charlie, that they're taking.
How many people do you know really who are in perfect health? Like if they were totally honest, because, you know, even if you are really functional in your life, right? Like you could do everything you want. You're physically active. You know, you have good relationships and stuff. I'll bet that there are a few little things that you could identify on your body, you know, like a couple of little skin lesions or varicose veins or, you know, a toenail fungus that keeps coming back or, you know, some creaky, achy joints or a tendonitis that, you know, you can't really play golf very often anymore, right? There's almost everyone I've encountered, right? There's something like that. And those issues are really represent, right, something in the body that's not going right. And so it's preventive in a way, but you're really actually addressing what is already visible. It's just not to the point, like your body is managing it, right, for now. But it may become, if you don't change something, right, it could become unmanageable in the future. But you can find signs of this in almost everyone. And then you can, you know, what I teach is how do you correct those things? How do you address them? And then you can monitor those little things getting better. And you know that, you know, because if you see evidence of something wrong somewhere in your body, and some places are very sensitive like this, like in the mouth, for example, if you've been having, you know, tooth pain or issues with your gums or infections in your mouth, or you need a bunch of root canals, I guarantee that other places in your body are also undergoing the same kind of damage. And you're only able to see it in the mouth because you can't, you know, look inside everywhere in your body. But if you do something to address that, and it's always a very simple, inexpensive way, using only natural materials is what I teach, you can, you know, observe the issue in your mouth resolve. And then you have confidence that also at the same time, the other parts of your body, which have been affected similarly, are also healing and getting better. And so, you know, you can, and I think having that ability to observe and take account is really crucial, because if you talk about like preventive medicine in the mainstream, it would be like treating your blood pressure with a pill.
Right.
And that is something that, you know, it's definitely not good. It'll lead to kidney failure. It masks the true problem, all kinds of issues with it. But many people don't actually take the pills. And the reason is because they can't tell that they have high blood pressure unless they're continuously measuring it. And some people I've talked to who measure it like way too much and they're way too concerned about it. But they, you know, it's like you don't know. And then if you take the pill and it's lower, you can't feel that either. But many of the pills actually make you feel bad in a certain way. Like they might make you have to pee a lot or cause muscle aches or something like that. Right. So, but in, you know, what I'm teaching is you can actually notice something, and then you can notice it get better. And you're like, oh my gosh, I could have actually, you know, made my knee not hurt every time I go up the stairs. Like, I wish I would have known that 15 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Well, when we were in Mexico, you brought your own like water system with you, right? So look, can we talk about like preventative measures in terms of like, I talked to like one of my sponsors, Chemical Free Body, Tim James, the owner, he comes on all the time. He is constantly talking to me about water, 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 you know, and he says, it's so important to the body. Then I get to Mexico and you've got your own water system. I go, okay, so now I'm getting it from multiple angles. They're telling me that this is sort of at the forefront and a real, let's just call it a real easy baseline step that you can take. What can we do to improve our water intake? What is this that you do that helps?
Yeah, well, let me first say that, you know, water is crucial for health because our bodies are primarily made of water. And it's not just a passive substance in the background. It's quite active and quite necessary for our health and our normal biological functions. For those of you who really want to learn more in depth, I have a Way of Water workshop that really covers this material and gives you a protocol about how you can rehydrate yourself, and it'll be on my website. But let me tell you some basics. So one is, you know, a couple of the most significant issues with water are, one, that virtually everyone I ever talk to does not have enough water in their body. And that's because, you know, our lifestyle and culture has led to a loss of our being able to recognize our own thirst. What we recognize and we think is thirst is actually signs of dehydration. So we're always playing catch up with our modern lifestyle. So one is just learning how to get enough water. And you have to drink it properly so your body can actually absorb it. Many people chug large volumes of water and then end up peeing it right out. So the most your body can absorb at a time is about 8 ounces or less in 30 minutes. So that should be one guideline. And there's also no set amount of water that's required for every single individual on a daily basis, right? Like, you know, you've heard the advice, oh, drink 8 glasses of water a day. But, you know, what size of glass and, you know, how do I drink it? And what if I'm a 300-pound bodybuilder, you're saying I need 8 glasses. And also if I'm a, you know, 90-pound petite ballerina, I also need 8 glasses a day. That doesn't make sense. Right. So there's got to be some more nuance and sophistication. And we need to learn how to reactivate our ability to monitor our true thirst mechanisms.
Temperature wise, is there a better temperature, cold water, warm water, lukewarm? It doesn't matter.
I think you could make a lot of arguments about that, but my preference would be that in the summer, you drink the water colder, and in the winter, you drink the water warmer. So you're helping your body achieve its temperature, its desired temperature with the water. But I'm sure other people have other answers. It's not really a purely scientific response.
Gotcha.
But the, you know, one of the other major problem with water is that virtually all the water that we're provided for the purpose of drinking is contaminated with many, many poisonous things.
Right.
Including, you know, pharmaceutical drugs, microplastics, heavy metals, agricultural runoff products, you know, which include volatile organic compounds and pesticides and things like that. So we have to have pure water to drink. That's the most important aspect. Now, there's other things you could do to improve the quality of the water besides that. But if you'll get sick from contaminated water. So when I travel, because, you know, in my home, I have high quality water available. I made it that way. You know, for traveling, it's really difficult because even if you would go to, you know, the Walmart to get distilled water, it's stored in plastic jugs. And just being in the plastic jug, there have been some studies that have shown like 400 different chemicals or more leaching out into the water. And especially if it's distilled, it has more dissolving capacity. So it'll draw things out more than water that's more osmotic. So I bring my own distiller when I travel. It's a mega home, you know, 1 gallon distiller. And, if I go with my family, I actually bring 2 of them, but, you know, so it fits into one of those, bags that you can put in the overhead compartment on the plane. And, you know, I just, it makes things a lot easier. It was TSA did question it. I had to explain. They were totally fine because you say it's for medical purposes and you're allowed to bring medical equipment. And it is for your health. So you're not being dishonest when you say that. And it just, you know, so I never get diarrhea from traveling to Mexico or any other problem because I just only drink my own water. You know, I might drink a beer or two, something like that, you know, although I'll try to avoid things with ice, but, you know, I think Mexico has gotten a lot better, to be honest with you, about the quality of water. But, you know, I just want to optimize it. And yeah, actually, I don't think there's probably different kinds of contaminants in Mexican water. What I was talking about is, you know, in the U.S. principally. So, but just to be safe, you know, I always do this.
Well, you've got a lot of resources on your website. Is it drandrewkaufmanmd.com?
That's just Andrew Kaufman, MD.com.
K-A-U-F-M-A-N, MD.com. There's True Medicine Library, True Medicine University. You've got homeschooling options. There's a lot going. I mean, it's no surprise that you were at Anarchapulco, because when I've been there in the past, it's been homeschooling. Let's teach you about what's really going on in the medical industry. Let's teach you how to heal yourself. Let's, you know, get yourself away from this. You are a perfect fit for that. What can people do? I'm curious if they want to go and learn more about this through your True Medicine University or library.
Well, definitely sign up for my newsletter is the best thing to do. And, you know, the True Medicine Library is my membership platform. And there's lots of natural health information and other, you know, debunking common faulty paradigms in medicine and biology information. And we just had our monthly webinar yesterday, True Medicine Live, where I, you know, answer everyone's questions about pretty much anything related to health and biology. And so you can, you know, we have this archive of tons of topics there. People can learn this information, and help to prepare to improve their family's health and, you know, deal with these things head on.
So necessary. I mean, like, we're just lied to constantly. I mean, especially in America, where the media is allowed to run pharmaceutical advertisements. I mean, they're comical. It's turned into a joke. It's like, well, let's listen to the side effects. And then the fast talking guy talks about all the things that are the side effects. And the side effects are like worse than anything that the medicine was designed to treat in and of itself. And so it's turned into this running joke here in America, but it's unfortunately it's not funny. We're like the sickest people on the planet, and like since we, you know, when we go travel, you know, you travel. We were both in Mexico as an example. You know, I just see healthier looking people everywhere else I go. I see healthier looking people than in America. If somebody was just trying to get, you know, right off the bat, like what can we you know, what are a couple things that we can do to improve our lifestyle, to change our health? Where would you send them? Where would you start? Obviously, we've got water sort of done here. Or what's your take on low hanging fruit for Americans to easily incorporate into their daily routine so that they can at least get on the path towards some sort of health freedom?
Yeah, sure. There are some very, very simple things, like I mentioned. Even if you're drinking contaminated water, just increasing the amount and doing like I said will definitely make some tangible improvements to your life. But I think, you know, of all the sources of things that cause health problems, we really, you know, have two main ones that I think cause the most disability and disease, and that is food and pharmaceuticals. So, you know, it's pretty easy to avoid pharmaceuticals in the first place if you're not already on them. And there are lots of ways to get off them and address the underlying problem. And I have a consultation service, where I could help you navigate those waters if you like. But with food, there are many, many different philosophies, tons of data, lots of debates, lots of emotion about, you know, vegan versus carnivore versus omnivore and all these things. But I'll tell you that it doesn't matter what you think about that, because if you want to just make a huge, easy difference, in your health, eliminate processed foods. So that, you know, includes sweets, pasta, bread, cookies, all of that kind of stuff. Just stick to whole foods, unprocessed, right? So, you know, almost nothing in a package unless, you know, the only ingredient is one thing or one thing plus salt, right? Like if you get a jar of almond butter, the only ingredient should be almond and then maybe salt. There should be no other ingredients, right? Not partially hydrogenated vegetable oils.
Right, yeah.
Okay. And if you simply do that, and it might be challenging to make this change because we have lots of addiction especially to carbs and sugar. But if you switch to just eating whole foods and get rid of all the processed foods and sweets, and of course that includes drinks, just drink water, those two things will make a huge difference. Like you'll lose weight, you'll feel better. Many of the problems will go away. You'll be much less likely to have any, you know, distress with eating or after a meal, things like that. I mean, you'll have huge improvements in your health from that simple thing. Another simple thing you can do is to, you know, do some basic cleansing. And that could be, you know, something you fast for 24 hours or longer, or even just narrow the window that you eat every day to a 4 to 6 hour or even an 8 hour window and don't eat outside those hours. Or you could do some enemas. You could go get a colon hydrotherapy, a colonic. You could do some coffee enemas. You could do some saunas, especially infrared sauna. You could do some baths where you put Epsom salts or bentonite clay, things like that. So there are many simple things you can do, and some of them are very like enjoyable, like spa-like procedures, where you could do some gentle cleansing, and that'll help facilitate your body getting rid of some of those chemicals from the processed foods or things from the pharmaceuticals that it's been kind of storing. And, you know, a lot of it gets stored in the body fat. It'll give the signal to your body that you're ready, because, you know, you cleaned up your diet, you have enough water, you stopped putting as many of these things in your body, and now your body can start to dump these things. And, once that process gets going, you'll start to feel real incredible.
Well, speaking of the detox process, you and Dr. Tom Cowan have been all over this COVID stuff from the beginning, right? And we've got a lot of people. I think people in the alternative media and the people that listen to this either knew right away or they knew pretty quickly on that there was a big problem with this. And we tried to warn as many people as we could. And, you know, some people are just, they're just in that matrix where they're just not ready to break free, and the television tells them to be scared, so they're scared, and that tells them to wait for the vaccine, so they wait. And a lot of people have waited for this vaccine, phase 1, 2, 3, and 4, you know, all of them. And in some cases along the way, they've had hesitations or second thoughts about what they've done. Are we at a point now where we have any sort of ideas or options or treatments or something that we can tell people that have taken the shots that maybe have regret about that and would like to get in a time machine and go back and undo that, and then realize they can't make that happen and undo what they've done, but they want to try and mitigate the problems that they're facing right now? Any sort of procedures that can help them?
Yeah, well, of course. And, first I would say that, this is a valuable learning experience. Like if you actually, learn from it and have now, come to the truth about what's going on, like that is a really valuable experience, and it'll serve you well, going forward. And you should continue on that path. If you have done that and you feel fine and you didn't notice any change to your health, I would say, there's nothing specific that you should do. You should just follow the general guidelines that I laid out about improving your health. You know, clean up your diet, drink more water, purify your water, learn more about health, do some general cleansing, to whatever extent that you feel is appropriate. Now, if you're having health problems from getting one of these injections, then, there's no boilerplate one size fits all procedure that you can do, but all of the ways to address it are going to involve detoxification and some degree of, rebuilding or renutrition, right? Or providing, the proper nutrition to allow the body to heal from the problem. The reason why I can't say that there's any, general approach is because, one, we don't really even know what is contained in these things, right? We know that there are different things likely contained in different batches of it. And then, of course, there's even different brands that are different products. So different types of toxins kind of are dealt with in a different ways by your body. Like, for example, aluminum, it's been shown in certain forms, like the aluminum hydroxide used in many vaccines. I'm not sure that it's even in any COVID injections. The body has no way to really process it. So what the body does is try to wall it off and form what's called a granuloma, which is a type of like inflammatory, almost like a mini tumor, but it creates like a padded cell to contain the aluminum until the body can figure out something else, right? Whereas, you know, if you have a totally different type of toxin, it can affect, or your body will react to it in a totally different way. Like if it's water soluble, it'll probably be sent to the liver or the skin to be processed out of the body, or actually if it's water soluble, it'll probably go to the kidney and just be excreted. If it's not water soluble, then it'll go to the liver or the skin to be made water soluble, right? So depending on the specific toxicity, like will it be toxic to the tissue before it gets to the liver, or will it be toxic to the liver, or both, right? It's like everything is going to be a little bit different. So it depends on what problems you have. If you have neurologic issues from an injection like, you know, seizures or Guillain-Barré or Bell's palsy, for example, then probably approach it one way. Whereas if it were the problem, you know, was myocarditis, you'd probably approach it a different way. I know, by the way, you know, Amanda Vollmer has reported on having a few cases of very good outcomes with folks in this situation. And she customized, of course, her protocol to the individual symptoms, just like I described. And I'd be happy to work with anyone in that situation as well. And I think there's an excellent chance of improvement and even full recovery.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good to know. Because this has been a catastrophe for people. It's broken families apart. You know, people don't want to hear that they've done something that maybe they shouldn't have done, and they don't even want to get honest with that. It just in and of itself, and it's more than just a physical component. It's a psychological side to this,
Charlie,
as well.
Even you know, I had to deal with something similar myself because I wasn't aware of the danger of vaccines when I started my career in medicine, because of course, you know, in medicine, you're told that it's the greatest miracle of medicine are vaccines.
Of course.
And so when I had my children, like I didn't put up any objection to vaccinating them at first. And then when I finally looked at the science on the topic and realized, how dangerous they were. And this was, of course, even when I still thought germs caused disease, I was able to learn that vaccines were very toxic. Now, of course, I know there's no reason for vaccines in the first place. So even if they were not toxic, there'd still be no reason to take them. But when I realized that, you know, I had to then, I was very angry at myself. I felt very guilty about doing that to my children.
Right,
and I had to go through kind of a reconciliation process with myself in order to, you know, get to where I am now.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of coercive forces that led us to these things. It's not like, you know, we didn't believe in ourselves that we can find information and make our own opinion. You know, we've been told that we need to trust authority from day one. And that's one of the big purposes of the, you know, compulsory schooling system, is to establish that. And that's how you saw everyone react when, you know, when suddenly they made announcements that were not based on any factual evidence.
Well, I'm curious how you came to this process, because you're molecular biology at MIT, right? You should be germ theory guy all day long, right? And then you make this transition, you come into this world where you start to have some questions about this and questions about that, and it leads you to this question about, like, hey, is this even, this germ theory concept even anchored in reality? we've got these two competing sides. We've got germ theory and terrain theory. I'm not qualified enough to get involved in the science behind the germ theory aspect of it. I do understand the concept of terrain theory. Treat the terrain better and you'll have better results. That seems very obvious to me. What was the process for you that took you from the default mechanism of medical school, which is germs cause all these problems, and then you make this transition into, well, I have questions about this?
Well, I think the biggest, most important factor that set me on these paths was that I worked in my career, early career, in two major areas of medicine. So first, I was a physician assistant. I worked in hematology and oncology, so with lots of cancer patients. And then as an MD, I worked in psychiatry and forensic psychiatry. Now, those are both, very separate areas, although, of course, patients overlap, right? Because cancer will make you depressed and you might go to a psychiatrist, right?
Right.
But what I observed in my experience there and watching hundreds, if not thousands of patients, definitely thousands in psychiatry and at least hundreds in oncology, that I saw no one get better as a result of the treatment offered. Now, in oncology, there was one exception when they used a synthetic version of vitamin C in one rare form of leukemia, people got better every time. But when they used chemotherapy drugs, no one got better. I mean, some of them might have had some temporary improvement, but they all died. And in psychiatry, I saw that when they took antipsychotics and antidepressants and anxiolytics and stimulants, that they didn't get better. In fact, many times they got worse, or it masked their suffering. And then I also, observed in the literature when I studied that these things actually are lethal. Like, we have been awakened to this sudden death phenomenon, right, associated with these injections, for example. But you can go back a few years and look at a study assessing the entire youth population of Tennessee who are on Medicaid, which is, for poor families. And all of those recipients, many of them, a lot of them were prescribed antipsychotics, even though they're teenagers and they didn't even have a psychotic illness. It was, really to control their behavior. Well, among those recipients of these drugs, there was also a number of cases, quite an astonishing number, of sudden death that occurred in teenagers. That's, teenagers is the age group that has the lowest mortality out of the entire population. Young children sometimes get terrible illnesses, like cancer, and die. Adults, of course, the older you get, the more likely you are to die. But teenagers is that golden window. The only thing that kills them is, like suicide, drug addiction, and, car accidents and, right, trauma like that. And those things happen at a, very low rate, but they don't get sick. So, you're seeing sudden death among teenagers just because they're given this drug, right? So once you realize that that's what's going on and that no one's getting any better, it's like you can't, either you have to go back into a state of denial and pretend everything is good and keep doing that. Otherwise, you have to make some changes. And that's what really, I came to that point.
Yeah, it's a real shame, because if only they had directed this education that we get into, real health, real understanding, think how much further as a society we would be. But they benefit from keeping us dumbed down and only understanding a certain amount of this. So it's no surprise to me that you've kind of branched off into homeschooling and having these homeschooling options. Because listen, if we're gonna understand how to take care of ourselves and how to thrive in this world and how to be healthy, I think the first thing that a lot of us, especially as adults, have to do is unlearn almost everything that we were taught. I know I had to, as far as history goes. I'm coming to the understanding I need to as far as medicine goes as well. But if we were to just say, well, let's be proactive in this regard as well, and let's just not teach that going forward to the kids, right? So we go to an Acapulco, we see these, you know, they've unschooling sessions. I've had David Rodriguez on here talking about the Gatto Institute and these things. Like, what do you suggest for parents that are trying to get, you know, their understanding, they're coming to this awakening, they're starting to figure out, okay, there's a lot of lying going on out there in the education system, is Rockefeller funded, the medical industry is Rockefeller funded, these people, the United Nations is Rockefeller, like all the bad guys are funding these things. And so we need to detach ourselves from that and start to do take this a whole new direction and start to educate ourselves differently. I'm a parent. I'm awake to what's going on. I have an 11-year-old. I need to start educating her. Where do we start? Where would you suggest people go to educate themselves on how to educate their kids?
Well, I think that it's a lot less complicated than you might think. So
that's good to hear.
When you have your kids learn at home, it's a very rewarding experience because you get closer with your kids. But I don't want you to like feel like you have to then suddenly become a teacher. Like, the goal is not for you to teach them, it's for you to guide them. The children learn on their own. You just need to give them some inspiration and freedom to make that happen. And I would encourage you, for example, to look at what's called self-organizing learning environments. And there are TED Talks about this. And, you can get a sense of how powerful it is, like that children in poor rural areas in developing countries have taught themselves a foreign language in a matter of weeks in order to be able to learn more effectively because they're so curious and passionate about wanting to learn. And so when you take the kid out of the school, there's going to be a shock, but, after a little while, they will start to really thrive and enjoy having this freedom and inspiration, you know, to learn independently. But I think the way that we have in our compulsory system, right, that there's the set curriculum, a set of approved facts, that aren't factual, and that has to be presented to the child by the official authority source or the designated expert. And they're supposed to be able to regurgitate, you know, this information. So that is not like many parents will try to do the same thing at home. And, trying to copy a bad model. So what I really think about is I want my children to, you know, by the time they come of age of majority, I want them to, one, be able to learn on their own effectively. I want them to have some basic skills like communication, logic, reasoning, discernment, right? I want them to be critical thinkers, not just accept things, but question everything, be skeptics, right? But not recluses. And I want them to understand how to operate in the business world, like how to run their own business. So that involves, you know, like getting internships for learning purposes and then trying to run some kind of business on their own. Because these are the tools that you need. If you have the ability, you know, an autodidact, if you can learn anything on your own, you have the skills to run a business. Like, that's all you need in life. And, you know, if we look at the most successful individuals in terms of business and wealth and things like that, many of them, of course, did not really, they left out of their formal education prematurely, right? They quit at school, they didn't go to college, et cetera, because those things don't really prepare you for this type of independent, sovereign life that we want, you know, that we want to pursue, so we're free of these nefarious influences. Those institutions prepare you to be, you know, a good worker, an obedient worker, right? A wage slave, etc. And that's not what I want for my children. So a way to achieve this autodidact is the trivium and quadrivium method. And I try to integrate that. And I think it's a very valuable resource, and there are lots of reading materials and lectures you can go to learn what that is.
Well, Andrew, without school, how will our kids learn to be Molotov cocktail throwing non-binary Marxists then? I mean, geez. Let's wrap up with this. Did you ever think you'd be a movie producer?
Absolutely not.
What was that process like? Because for people that want to go check it out, terrainthefilm.com is the website to go to. And you showed...
Let me just add that it's also on Amazon Prime and on Tubi.
Yeah, Amazon Prime and Tubi.
You can stream it for free on Tubi. So, you know, if you don't want to contribute to my operation, those resources are out there.
And you played it at Anarchapulco as well as also doing your presentation. You had a Q&A. You had all kinds of stuff going on there. So you were busy. You were busy. You were really busy. Every time I'd see, you know, I'd catch you there. Hey, you know, I'd see you doing something on a stage there and then on the main stage. The film, though, it came to life. What was that process like? How long did it take you guys to do it? What's the response been? Amazon Prime showing it? That's cool. It feels like, I don't know. It feels like that would be something they would want censored, but it's up there.
It took a lot of effort to get it up there. And, you know, let me say, so Marcy Cravat was a big inspiration, and she is really the filmmaker. And we worked on, this was a passion project we worked on together because, you know, I knew I wanted to get this information out, and I want to help shift the paradigm, you know, to this more truthful way of looking at health and biology. And I know that if I, you know, and I'm writing a book now, but if I started with a book, you know, only the other scientists and doctors are going to read that book. And I wanted something that was approachable to everyone and to capture the interest of, you know, folks that are totally in the dark about this. And so it took us a year and a half to make, and we made it, you know, during COVID. So there was a lot of restrictions. Yeah. We couldn't do everything, you know, we couldn't get all the help that we needed. Some people wouldn't work with us. You know, Marcy, all of her prior films were all featured in various film festivals, and they all snubbed their nose at her for this film because of the topic. But nonetheless, we still, like, we got it out there pretty successfully. When we launched it, we had 35,000 people watching it live, which was amazing. You know, and just through our own efforts, you know, we couldn't advertise on TV, or, you know, they wouldn't even let us, you know, like I tried to advertise on YouTube one time and they just, like within hours suspended my account.
Of course.
So, you know, we partnered with, Italian film star, Michele Lastella, who is, a great guy, totally awake, has written a great book about the occult. And he has left, you know, the mainstream Italian Hollywood to really pursue this kind of work. And he has been like our agent trying to get it distributed by these streaming platforms. And, you know, I mean, it was months and months before we got this miraculous news. And it was only because he kind of played the game and made it such that if they were going to reject it, it was obvious that they were rejecting it based on censorship. Yeah. And they don't want to be perceived that way. So instead, what they did is they tried to kind of knock it out administratively, like, you know, oh, you submitted this form, but you didn't use the correct code. And then you submit the correct code, and then they send it back and something else is wrong. And, you know, and eventually when they did put it on there, they still wouldn't put the trailer. Right. And they also, you know, would, like, if you search or whatever, or just have, you know, we think you'll like these movies, like, it's, you're never going to see my film there.
Wow.
Right. Like, you have to look for it. So, you know, I mean, all you folks who haven't seen it, please do go on these platforms and at least search it, because that helps it get a little bit more exposure. And I think everyone I've talked to who's watched it has had a very positive experience. And, you know, you even get to see me go toe to toe with two police officers who are trying to violate my rights. And there's no violence or nudity, but it's pretty intense. It was pretty intense.
That's crazy.
You know, it's not just a film about science. It's not boring. Like, it covers the entire struggle that we went through, and why, you know, to help convey how important it is to understand the truth about health so that we're not put in this vulnerable, manipulable situation.
I think the whole premise of my show is to educate people to the extent that I can and get people to be proactive about whatever it is, to get them to be proactive about their health, their education, to not outsource that. Don't outsource your critical thinking to the state or to the medical industry or to the big, you know, television or whatever school system. If you do that, you give away your control of it. You allow others to influence your kids, your body, your mind, all of these things. And so I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing. You're out there doing a bunch of different things. So if people are interested in finding out more about True Medicine Library, True Medicine University, Terrain the Film, the True Healing Conference, you had our mutual friend David Icke speak there. David's going to be back on the show in a couple months. We've got him rebooked. He's the best. I met him at an Acapulco the first time around. So for those that are interested, the website, andrewkaufmanmd.com. The link will be in the description. If you are just support Andrew's work to the extent that you can, spread this. If you like this episode, take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. Dr. Kaufman, we appreciate you. You're the best. Thank you so much.
It's great to talk to you again, Charlie. I really enjoyed it.
Good to see you too. So if you you can share this wherever. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggression. The website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.